at this passage in John chapter 3. And as we give thanks to God today for the birth of this new human being, Jesus' words to Nicodemus are striking. You must be born again. And one thing which we can take for granted is that if Nicodemus needed the new birth in order to grasp, to see, and to enter the kingdom of God and be saved, then so does every human being who would follow him. And that includes you, Chichi. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a religious man. He was a righteous man outwardly, but he still needed the new birth. He said, "You cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again." So we are turning our attention to that very fact in order to understand what Jesus meant by this. We will ask some questions and try to answer them. First of all, we ask, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? Now, clearly, it does not mean that we are to re-enter the womb. Nicodemus mentioned that, didn't he? We don't go through the development, the process of development from egg to fetus to full-born child. We don't do that. That's not what Jesus means. That's what he's talking about. What do we? Well, we have to remember, of course, that a human being is more than just a body. A human being is body and spirit. Together, they make up a human being. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, when we read about the creation of man, it says, "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living creature." Job says, "But it is the spirit in man," the spirit in man, "the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand." Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." You see, we are body and spirit. And Jesus, of course, is not talking about a body rebirth, but a spiritual rebirth. He says, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You must be born again of water. Now, just a little word about water. It says, born again of water and of the Spirit. Some think that that refers to baptism, the water of baptism. And we do pray that when Uchechi comes to an age when she can put her trust in the Saviour, that she will be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost as a profession of her faith. We pray for that day, of course. However, it's not what's meant here. Water, Jesus is using this as a figure. You can tell this by looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water, by the word." Cleanse her by the washing of water with the word. And it is the word of Christ that comes to us. It is the word of Christ. And that's what he's saying. You've got to be born again according to the word, according to God's promise. You've got to be born again here of the word, not about being baptized at all. Of course, regeneration, new birth. Another word for new birth is regeneration. And it's presented as the water too by Paul in Titus 3:5. He says, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration. Washing of regeneration. And the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Peter says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. That's why we need to hear the gospel, to hear the word which brings to us the knowledge of the cleansing blood of Christ. What does it mean to be born again? Born spiritually. Why do we need that? Why do we need to be born again spiritually? Well, in a word, because we're dead. We're dead. When our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were sentenced to punishment, which God had already warned them about. In Genesis 2:16, 17, he says, the Lord commanded the man, saying, you must surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Paul tells us the wages of sin is death. And just as parents pass on their physical genes to their children, so man passes on this sentence of death. We are born dead spiritually. What is spiritual death? What does spiritual death look like? Herbert Spencer, the English philosopher, he described death as being a lack of correspondence. Now, that doesn't begin to explain everything to do with death, but part of him was right. He says, well, when you see a corpse, dead man, dead woman, they've got eyes, but doesn't correspond to anything they can't see. They've got ears, doesn't correspond to the noises that's going on around them, can't hear. Limbs, but they can't use them. And you know, that's a bit like spiritual death. The spirit which has not been born again cannot engage in spiritual acts. They're dead. Dead to God. Dead to true faith. Dead to obedience to God. Paul actually uses that word. He says in Ephesians 2:1 following, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's what it is, to be dead in trespasses and sins. And being born again means being freed from spiritual death, having the breath of God breathed into your spirit, being raised to new life. Although Paul doesn't use the term born again in this passage, he does describe what it means. Ephesians 2:4, he says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The person who knows the new birth has been raised to new life, and it's the new life of Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour, and somehow we are in heavenly places because we are in him. That's what the new birth means. Without it, we're unable to grasp the meaning of the gospel. It means we cannot get up and obey the gospel command to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born again gives us that ability. So we've looked at what does it mean to be born again. What difference does it make to be born again? Well, in this midnight encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus goes on to speak as though the new birth is the beginning of eternal life. He goes on to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we know the new birth, then we know just what that is. As a new baby takes the first breath of air into its newborn lungs, so the born again child of God is filled with the life-giving Spirit of God and knows the grace of eternal life. And as a newborn baby immediately knows who her mother is, or father, so the newborn child of God immediately recognizes the God who made him and saved him in Jesus Christ. And not only that, not only does the new birth help us to grasp the gospel, to grasp what it means to be saved, but it changes us. Being born again changes us. Let me be clear. You cannot be born again without undergoing fundamental change. And this change isn't something that you do, it's something which God does. It is imparted as a gift, this new birth. Just as the child gets its human nature from its parents, so the new life has something of the divine nature, imparts something of the divine nature. Not that we become God, but that we take on some of the traits of righteousness and holiness. You know, in the five chapters of John's first epistle, he refers five times to Christians as those who have been born of God. God is our Father. If we are born again, how does that affect us? Well, Paul puts it in another way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed, everything's become new. You know, it's illustrated by Nicodemus himself. He came to Jesus by night, fear and trembling perhaps, for fear of the Jews. What happened later? Well, that was in John chapter 3. In John chapter 7, we see Nicodemus. Nicodemus, don't forget, was a member of the government. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the governing council of the Jews under Roman occupation. He wasn't just an ordinary fella. John chapter 3, he visits Jesus by night in secret. John chapter 7, he stands up before the Sanhedrin and he stands up for Jesus boldly, insomuch as they say to him, "Are you one of his as well?" Ah, he was, wasn't he? And you know, right at the end of Jesus' life at the cross, when Jesus had suffered the shame of public execution, we find him showing devotion to the Saviour in the most open manner. John chapter 19, 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. In the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus came out of the closet. And he showed devotion upon the very bones of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're born again, friends, it gives you a love for Jesus Christ, a devotion to Jesus Christ, and a willingness to stand up for him before the world and tell them that Christ has died for sinners. So, what does it mean to be born again, we've looked at? What difference does it make? We've skimmed the surface of that. Remains one other question, I think. How can we be born again? How can we be born again? Jesus said it's born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes. And he says, so is it with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The new birth, and I quote from a statement of faith here, the new birth is an instantaneous and complete operation of the Holy Spirit. That's what the new birth is. Instantaneous, but complete operation of the Holy Spirit in which one is brought to new life. In other words, he does the work. We can't bring ourselves to life. As a baby, dependent upon so many natural progression of things. You didn't choose to be born. And God's Spirit is the one who brings people to faith. It's not something you do. It's something which he does. It's not the result of a personal decision, although it might cause you to make a personal decision. The new birth comes before anything. It's an act of the Holy Spirit. If he doesn't do the work, then it remains undone. Now that might seem, then we've got absolutely no hope. Doesn't it? How can we be born again? The Holy Spirit must do the work. So where do we stand? Perhaps you are born again, you rejoice in that. Maybe you're not. So how do you, and you want to be born again. How can you be born again? If it's an act of the Holy Spirit, how? It seems as though it's an impossible task. However, we must remember that our God is, first of all, merciful. In Exodus chapter 34, and we are told of Moses, he says, "Show me your glory to God. Show me what you're really like. Show me your nature. The things that make you so glorious. Show me your glory." And it says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty.'" God is merciful. And secondly, God is approachable. You can go to God and ask him for the new birth. If you know that you're dead in your trespasses and sins, if you know that you're under God's wrath, if you know that you are not born again, you can go and you can ask God. You can ask for his Holy Spirit, who does the work. Jesus told something about this. He says, "I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Listen to this, he says, "If then you who are evil, dead in sins and transgressions, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him?" Want to be born again? Ask him. Seek him. Keep knocking and don't stop until you receive. Don't stop until you find. Don't stop until the door is open to you. You've got the promise of God. He cannot deny that promise. You go to him. You have his permission to ask for eternal life. So, each birth of a human child should remind us of the necessity, the possibility, and the superiority of the new birth. If we do know its reality, let's rejoice in that everlasting life which has been given to us and grow in it day by day. And if you do not know it, and go to God who alone can grant you everlasting life. It will be for you the entrance into the kingdom of God. Amen. May God grant it indeed. Now let's sing, shall we? A hymn of thanksgiving. And it's from Christian Hymns and hymn number 63. And particularly when we look at this hymn, it says, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today."